Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and this episode is sponsored by Keurig. And with me, I have...
But! Hello, you! I'm Alex, and I just wanted to do that for some reason.
And...
I'm Mark, and can I move in with one of y'all in the next state, please?
Why, did something happen terribly recently?
Well, let's see. Knowing that Canada is a pretty is pretty much a pedophile, and yet everybody else gonna say, oh, he didn't do well, and they use some sort of, you know what I'm getting at?
Alabama, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Pretty much that. Yes, pretty much that.
Oh, no. Fuck, right, like...
Like, you know how I feel knowing this shit, like, damn, and I got a feeling they're gonna like this nigga because they always let them good old boys.
Yeah, well, let me actually reword my earlier statement. Alabama white people, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yes.
Shit, I completely forgot that was Alabama. It was so fucked up, it completely slipped my mind. Oh, right, that's where Mark lives.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to move to Virginia or something? I hear they just elected someone really cool to, like, their delegates and representatives or whatever.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. A better idea.
Yeah.
Man, I wish my state legislature had metalheads in it. Instead, it's just a bald white guy who's, like, I don't know. Basically, if Sean Evans grew into a prune.
Oh yeah, the guy looked like a crazy Woody Harrelson.
That too. Sorry for the diss, Sean Evans. No ill will. Your shit is cool. I can't wait to see the Bob Saget interview. But yeah, episode 59. So, how things been going with y'all?
Pretty good. Been getting back into the video games. I actually went and got back my old Guitar Hero controller so I could play some of my games on the PS2. Was it always this laggy?
It depends. Which one are you playing?
Guitar Hero 3.
Well, see, there's your problem. You're playing it on the fucking PS2.
Yeah, clearly. I would like to get, like, a PS3 version, but those guitar controllers are a bit hard to come by nowadays.
Bitch.
Yeah, I would like to play Clone Hero instead, but, you know, I have a Mac, and doesn't play nice with Mac, but in any case, and that's a topic for another day. I also got myself a copy of Sonic Forces from Gamefly. Been playing through that today. Pretty good. I know it's a little short, but it's pretty good. It's a good game. It's good. It's not, you know, filled with super-duper microtransactions like what EA is pulling. We're all going to die, aren't we?
You know, fun fact, I actually haven't touched a 3D Sonic game since Sonic Heroes, pretty much. Or wait, was that before Shadow the Hedgehog, or was that after Shadow the Hedgehog?
I think.
Okay, then Shadow the Hedgehog is the last one I ever played. Dodged out on Sonic 06, Sonic Colors, the one where he's playing the werewolf, and, I don't know, what was Generations, that too.
You know. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that another time. I'm also preparing for an entire weekend full of playing through Pokemon Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's gonna be good, Tyler. You're gonna believe me, motherfucker!
Tyler's a bitch. What about you, Mark?
Not much of happened to me as recently, to me, as a matter of fact. Just pretty much routine shit.
Well, that's a funny story, Mark. By the way, I can't wait for that to come out, like, next month. It comes out next month, right?
The Disaster Artist comes out in December, yes!
It's gonna be fun. And we're gonna make so many jokes at Mark's expense.
Oh no.
It's nothing personal. It's just something we have to do.
I know there's gonna be a whole lot of room jokes. I know it's gonna happen.
Anyway, as for me, I actually played a show last night, the night before recording this. Recording on Monday, so I played Sunday night. We opened for this Colombian death metal band called No Raza, which apparently translates to no race. So I had to look up much later after the fact. It was a fun show. You know, pretty good bands there. The band themselves, first time listening to them was actually like the day of, because I was checking some of their stuff, you know, earlier in the afternoon. They're pretty good. They're one of those bands that sound a lot better live, because then you get like a more sort of punchy sound to their performances instead of kind of the lo-fi muddiness that you would expect of like a independent South American metal band. Also, you're not going to believe this, but there was a dog that was trying to get into the venue.
And really?
It was sort of like, you know, a mid-sized dog, you know, not too big, not too small, just the right size of dog. I think it might have been like, I don't know, part Rottweiler, part German Shepherd. I know it was very like black, but it wasn't like a Border Collie or anything. And he was very friendly. He wanted to play with all the people at the entrance. But I felt so bad for the dog because people didn't want him in the venue because obviously, you know, reasons. But it was like raining outside most of the time. I was like, oh, poor puppy, he's in the rain. I want to bring him inside and pat his head and give him belly rubs. But obviously, it's probably not the safest idea to have a dog running around in a place where big sweaty guys are running into each other like maniacs.
Yeah.
But still, poor puppy. I think about that puppy. And was there anything else? I finally submitted a proposal for a specialty show to the station. Now I just gotta wait to hear back, which is probably gonna be by the end of the week. Fingers crossed, man.
If they turn you down, it's because it's not true cult enough.
Excuse me, I put Death Clock in the playlist. What more do you want?
Baby metal, duh.
God, you're such a nerd. But anyway, that basically covers all the just the formalities for now. So now it's time to move on to the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, if you want to listen along, you can follow the playlist. You know, it's going to be one down in the description, so you can listen along and then come back to here and hear our thoughts and see if they match up with yours, possibly. So starting from the top, apparently we have to deal with a new Of Mice and Men album, like, at the beginning of next year. It's coming out January 19th. It's called Defy. And, well, it's apparently the first one they're doing without Austin Carlisle, so that's going to be a fun to hear. So, of course, this first song, Warzone, is... Now, I admit, I kind of fallen off the wagon a little bit, insofar as I can't say I've been listening that deeply. I think I heard their last album once, and didn't really feel the need to go back and listen to it again. But this one, okay, so it has some bouncy grooves. It's got, you know, a few D-beat passages here and there. The muddy chugs. Plenty of new metal synths and feedback, because I guess we're kind of at this point where it kind of feels like the generic core Warped Tour scene is kind of looping back into new metal in a weird way. It's like some weird recursive bullshit. And the only significant comment I have to make is, what even in the fuck is this goddamn chorus, I guess? Because, okay, look, I get it's common for stuff like this to kind of switch between the fast, pseudo-heavy passages and a chorus that sounds a lot prettier, but usually the momentum overall is still maintained, whereas this one, it just kind of sounds like it just hard, like, pulls the emergency brake into the chorus. It's not a very smooth transition. It's just kind of, like, whoa, all of a sudden the chorus sounds super elegant and pretty, like this is Sleeping with Sirens or some shit.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. The song itself is pretty kick-ass from start to finish, but what is up with that major key chorus? It's just, well, I came out of nowhere.
Guys, remember, like, key changes, they need skill to pull off. I mean, heck, not even Stone Sour can do it half the time. I still remember that one song from The House in Golden Bones, Part 2, Corey. It's okay, you and I are still cool. Of course. But now, moving on from that to something that I wouldn't have known about if I didn't, you know, pick up on it in the, like, rotation selection of the station. This group, Chromeo, who are apparently, a thing that exists. You know, if you like yourself some kind of throwback soul funk type things, this is your jam. So they announced the new album Head Over Heels coming out in an unannounced frame of time. And so they premiered a new single called Juice. And, well, much like a good glass of juice, this shit is liquid smooth as fuck. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's the beat is, you know, very synth heavy. It's impossibly, you know, tight and funky. It kind of sounds like a more, slightly more human sounding version of, like, Random Access Memories. Like, if that album was actually made, like, in the 70s, I kind of imagine this is what it would sound like, except with, like, more boisterous performers than, like, Pharrell and the Robot Guys. It's the kind of thing you really can't groove to. It sounds cool. Am I the only one that had opinions on this, I'm guessing?
Apparently.
I guess so.
All right, then. You know, some I would like to have backup on things, but I see how it is sometimes. Anyway, moving on. So, of course, time for the Adult Swim single of this past week. This one being one of the surprise drops from a sort of almost this kind of R&B-ish rapper type dude named Saba, produced by some guy named Zach Valera, or Valera. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But yeah, no clue who either of these guys are, so this will be a surprise to talk about. So we got a song called 360, and the melody of it, like I said, it's R&B, but it's very much also like a chiptune kind of thing. Kind of like if, like, I guess Hatsune Miku produced for The Weeknd or some shit. Which, let's be honest, you want to hear that. And, you know, it's very video game-ish sounding, but also kind of lush and beautiful. And the flow of this guy is, like, he's kind of rapping about, like, I guess some of the troubles and challenges that come about when you're, like, slowly developing a name in the scene. And, you know, his flow is very, like, it's got that kind of, like, very rapid-fire kind of stop-start, weird, like, triplet, like, bars and phrasing and all that. It sounds really cool, and it offers a really interesting contrast against the more, I guess, pretty sounding beat of the song. It's interesting, I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, listen to the song like a few times. Like, okay, this kind of like, I will say, a different type of sound, like very chip. It is like a very chiptune sound that does sound like more doesn't like either R&B or lighter hip hop sound. Yeah, the guy seemed pretty cool on here. So yeah, I like what he's doing on here.
Good to know. But a new challenger approaches. That is not the end of the Adult Swim discussion. No. Alright, so once again the block is hooking up with the fine folks over at Ghostly International to feed us a little bit of a treat here. This one being the latest album from one of the more iconic producers in their roster, a Dabrier, if you will. Yes, Mr. Dabrier has announced a new album coming out February 16th of next year called 3/3. And this is actually kind of a big deal because, okay, so Dabrier's very first album, 1/3, came out 2001, 2002, I believe. Then 2/3 came out roughly around 2006. The third entry under this producer name, I think, and under the series, is coming basically 11, 12 years later.
Oh, well, damn. Like, holy shit.
So the hype is very much strong on this one, and is to be believed if we're judging from this first single, a song called The Appetite, which features guest rap verses from a couple of fellows named Rock Marciano, Kel Kreese, and Mr. Daniel of Brown.
Yeah.
Always want to see his name come up anywhere, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this song, the beat of it is kind of this moody but intense kind of electronic thing. You know, you definitely feel like this sort of dark edge to it, which sort of matches the flows of Rock and Chris as they're kind of doing this very it's low key, but it's not like mumble. It's got, it's still got like a punch and an intensity to a lot of it. It's kind of hard to pick out like individual bars, but I will say these guys definitely know how to rock fucking rhymes like no one's business. Especially the funniest when like Kel Chris makes some fucking crack about subtweeting motherfuckers. Or no wait, it's like don't subtweet at you like I'm getting sick or something. And then of course, you know, when Danny kicks in, his flow is just on a completely different level from the other guys. He, you know, when he comes in, because he's got the more forceful flow. It's like, smoke so much, my brain don't rest, up all night, writing to get it off my chest, or shit like that. I do a terrible Danny Brown impression. This is why I don't rap. But yeah, this, as someone who's only ever heard one song of Dabrier's, I think it was off the first Ghostly Swim compilation. I gotta get through this guy's discography. This sounds like it could be, you know, fucking banger shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, this is some pretty dope shit. Like I think I heard I heard him before, like on the Ghostly Swim track, and maybe one other track of his I heard maybe a long time ago. But yeah, this is some dope shit from the futuristic beat to the rounds from Quelle Chris, Mark Mignotta, and Danny Brown especially. I'm just looking more forward to hearing more about this project. Considering the guests he gonna bring over there, like this dude gonna get people like Ghostface. He got Doom, Shigito. I'm like, I'm gonna hear more of this once it comes out.
It's gonna be good shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on from that to, okay, this is the band that for some reason I keep forgetting exists, but they're also gonna be dropping it out on February 16th. This is from a Screamo ad called Pianos Become the Teeth. Well, at least for this song, I use the word Screamo kind of loosely. You wouldn't know it listening to this new song. So the album coming out February 16th is called Wait for Love. Well, I mean, you're kind of making us wait a little too long. This is 2 days after Valentine's Day. Come on! Bad timing there, people! But yeah, we have the song Charisma here. And as someone who knows them as, like, you know, they write songs that are very, you know, heavy on the vocals, very grating and emotionally depressive. This one is different. The guitar production is very, you know, kind of like those, that sort of weird halfway between sort of distorted and sort of clean that you hear on like a lot of shoegaze tracks, you know, that weird little sweet spot. And the vocals themselves aren't grating at all. They're more, again, that sort of moany, shoegazy kind of cleans. And it almost kind of reminds me of something of, and again, I realize this is probably the opposite of name dropping, but I don't know if anyone listening here still keeps up with the band Title Fight, but this kind of sounds like what they were doing on like their last couple albums. You know, they started off as sort of like melodic hardcore, and that went in a more shoegazy, almost kind of post-hardcore alt-rockish kind of direction. And that's kind of what I see Pianos going for here. I mean, it's not a bad song or anything. I can kind of go with it, but I will admit I'm kind of a little on edge. I'm waiting to see what the full context is and how all this pans out.
I'm not all that familiar with these guys, so I can't really say much. But this song, well, for one, the bass was very fuzzy, and for two, well, definitely in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm kind of waiting on the big picture, because this isn't a bad first impression, but certainly not the best one they could have gone with. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, speaking of stuff that made bad first impressions, so again, we got a new song, the second new single from the upcoming Nerd album, No One Ever Really Dies, still without a release date, although all those people at Complex Comp with their hot sauces still got to hear it. Although, in retrospect, that's probably not a great thing, considering that first song was just terrible. And now we have another song. This one actually featuring Mr. Andre 3000. You know, the man who just kind of spits a bar or a verse here and there and kind of slinks back into the ether or wherever it is Andre 3000s do when they're not doing music. But yeah, this is a track called Rollin' 'em Sevens, and again, this is another one that's just really annoying. Like, it's structurally repetitive as all hell. The beat just kind of... I don't know how to describe this beat. It's, again, it's not... Maybe not as grating as, you know, the previous song, but still very annoying. And there's this random-ass beat change in the middle. In fact, the whole beat, and I don't know how to describe this other than it's like if Alex was still, like, in Full Sail, or let's say it was, like, sophomore year music student project thing. They were doing a project, and they just decided to give up and settle for a C minus. This is what it sounds like. I'm sure Alex would probably tell you what that sounds that, like.
A C minus? That was me my entire time at Full Sail.
Damn. Nah, come on. But let's be honest. Even you trying to pull a C minus would turn it something better than this. Come on.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, to be honest, creating electronic music isn't really as hard as you might think. It's actually kind of simple once you understand the basics.
So then what's Nerd's excuse for having this shit be fucking clattering and obnoxious as all hell? It's like, it's just like listening to a chorus of, hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Just layered and layered. So naturally, it's no surprise that Andre 3000 is the best, or at the very least, the most pleasant sounding part of this damn song. But oh, and I forgot to mention something. There is a very specific sample in here that the second I heard it, I had to double take, stop, rewind tape, and play back. Does the name Bub Rub mean anything to anyone here?
Okay,
sorry, I have to go on a tangent on this, but here's a little old school, late 2000s meme history lesson. There was once a really old news report that was reporting on this trend of whistle tips, where people would install these things in, like, God, what do you call that thing in the car where, like, the smoke comes out of, I think, the exhaust or whatever, like that
exhaust pipe?
Yeah, the exhaust pipe that would produce this loud whistling sound. And in that report, at one point they come across one guy, and it's kind of like a brief 20-second thing. It's like, what are your opinions about the whistles? And the response is, the whistles go woo, it's woo woo, it's that woo woo.
The whistles go woo, when you want to woo woo, it's that woo woo.
And it became like this whole meme. Like,
I think I heard it before, but I probably forgot.
Well, like, the sample of, like, the whistles go woo, that shows up randomly, just out of the blue in this song. It's fucking more like, jeez, what okay, are you guys even doing?
That's just weird. I mean, I like the 150,000 verse. Oh, I think I heard the song one time, because when I went to check out again, the song got taken down.
Yeah, I had to go hunting down for, like, a different link, because I didn't realize the one I pasted had nothing in it.
And it got taken down. I think the whole song got taken down for some reason.
Bastards. Actually, now that I think about it, it's probably for the best. So thank you, whoever took the song down. You are a hero, and you are doing the American people a favor. Moving on to something that's actually pleasant on the ears, at least. Mark, you want to set up this one?
Yes, I will. So, Mr. Freddie Gibbs, he had a better year than last year. Because he releases Project You Only Live Twice, which, like I say, was a good project. It may not be Piñano or that last one, but it was pretty alright. So anyway, like, he became himself most of this year. But he teamed with this French producer named I can't pronounce this motherfucker's name.
It's not that hard. It's Feynman.
Feynman?
Yeah, Feynman.
Okay.
And I only really know of that because there's a famous, I think, physicist or chemist or something named Richard Feynman. But continue.
Anyway, him and Freddie Gibbs collab for a new Disney track on Feynman's upcoming project, Lucens 2, song titled The Wave. And which I gotta say, this is, in fact, that very classic Freddie Gibbs on his beat. And I gotta say, Feynman delivered the goods on this, and so does Gibbs when he. took six of the ass, rip it out, put my shit on exhibit, I pimp it out, took your bitch on the gymnast, she flipping now, Freddie came, neck and wrist, got a drippy drop. His flow really works well on this, on this production. It has this wavy sounding track, and he was like, it's pretty good, it's actually pretty good when I heard from Gibbs.
Yes, in fact, you could say the song itself, based on the production, is rather wavy.
Yep. The first song that would have been on that, I mean, only Live Twice, if kind of thing. I think this should have been on there. It would have made like an album or something. At least, you know, at least have more than just 8 tracks. But yeah, this is a pretty good song from Mr. Feynman and Mr. Gibbs.
And now moving on to the next song. So, oh boy. Apparently there's a Will Smith movie coming out on Netflix, I think next month. Actually, I'm not precisely sure.
Yes, next month.
It's called Bright. I have no fucking clue what it's about. I'm still fixated on that terrible song that he subjected us to a couple months ago.
Yeah, I think Bright is mainly if LA, basically LAPD and basically not, fantasy, orcs and all that type of shit. I don't know. I saw a trailer once. It's from the guy that makes Death with the Suicide Squad.
Oh boy!
It's since you mentioned Suicide Squad. The soundtrack also on Atlantic Records, the same record company that made the soundtrack as well. So anyway, they're over that shit too. And this is our next song, Ty Dolla $ign. Future, and that and what's that chick? That chick name who did that song? Kiara. They did a fucking song called Dark Side. And wow, I'm getting some Suicide Squad soundtrack vibes from here, from this song. It's like
this is the textbook definition of soundtrack filler. And that's literally all I have to say.
It's pretty much what you're going to hear in the soundtrack filler. Not to mention, I looked at Future's first. He is still sore about when Jay-Z sort of did subliminal dissing him on 444. When Jay-Z is talking about how the whole Instagram holding stacking money to your ears kind of corny, and I think he mentioned one Future reference, like something about him and his son hanging with the other guy, Russell Wilson, that, like, you know, that, all that shit. I think he's still butthurt about that, which are like, okay, what the fuck they gotta do with anyway, this song is really not all that memorable. And looking up this track list, it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get either weird considering this could be collaborations with Drama, Neil Young, Little Uzi Vert, and Steve Aoki.
Oh no, why?
That's the thing.
The cringe just went up tenfold with those names.
This is like a hot topic soundtrack. Just waiting.
And I sure can't wait to not listen to the soundtrack when it comes out on... Hang on, what's actually the release date here? Oh my god, this is coming out on my birthday. Fucking damn it. Okay, if I find out that either of you guys sent this to me as a gift, I'm gonna find you.
It won't be me. I'm broke as shit.
Yeah, I shouldn't be mad at you. I mean, you guys would never send me gifts anyway, even if you did have money.
No, which, by the way, you still owe me money.
I don't owe you shit. What are you talking about?
$60.
$60. Oh, please. That is such a lie. That is so unbelievably made up. I don't even have to acknowledge it.
We have audio recordings of it.
Sure we do. What is this audio recording that you even speak of? But anyway, we got to move on to the big one. The last song of this week. So finally, after all the various teasers that have been floating around the internet and out in real life, presumably for a while, Monsieur Eminem has confirmed that he is in fact releasing an album called Revival, which I think is coming out this Friday. I haven't been able to confirm that 100% for sure, but that's what Wikipedia says, so I'm just gonna fucking roll with it. And Mr. Eminem has actually decided to give us the first single from this album, or I guess the only lead single from the album, if the release date is true. It's a track called Walk in Water, which features guest vocals from a woman who doesn't seem to care much for Becky with the good hair. Yes, Miss Queen Bey Beyonce is here doing the chorus on this thing. And, you know, I have this really on-again, off-again relationship with Mr. Shady, you know. I dropped off after Encore, and the last time I tried to get into him was the Marshall Mathers LP 2. Earlier today, I was finally getting around to fucking Relapse, and I'll probably check out Recovery tomorrow, but yeah, catching up to Doom. But this song, this shit is fucking boring.
I'm so bored. So very, very bored. I'd rather watch a bunch of cupcakes sing a merry song and then go surfing on a door. It's so dull. There's nothing to say. I'd rather sugarcoat a leprechaun, feed him to a dog, and then go play some croquet.
Holy shit, this is the fucking blandest possible song that I think the fucking Mr. Shady could ever put out. I mean, structurally, it's quite literally just like a verse-chorus, you know, mm-hmm. AB thing, fucking lazy as hell. The lyrics, and okay, I guess it fits in with, I guess it's supposed to be a companion piece to Relapse and Recovery, you know, considering this is about, like, I guess his humanity, his emotional fragility, and how he's only mortal as a human, whatever. But the actual delivery of it is so bland, and this beat is so lifeless. It's not doing Shady any favors. And trust me, I say this as someone who got sick of that Rihanna collaboration after hearing it so many goddamn times. Or whatever the fuck that other song was off that album that was really big. I'm fucking blanking out the name at this point. But, like, yeah, this is just such... It feels like a very nothing song, except for that random-ass fucking tag in the outro, which, like, what the fuck? What the fuck yeah, even was like, that? Holy shit.
That was kind of weird.
Okay. I'll be a little more complimentary to this and say it's all right. It's very laid back and subdued with the piano melody permeating throughout the whole song, and, of course... Beyonce's vocals in the chorus. It does get some points for me for that ending. Bitch, I wrote Stan! It's so out there, I can appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, he wrote Stan. Not to mention, he wrote a song where Stan's brother fucking kidnapped him. And then killed his ass. But go on.
Yeah, like, when I first listened to the song, at first I thought... Why does it sound like a Macklemore track?
Oh, God. It's bad, but it's not that bad. Come on, Mark. Chill.
Okay. I'm going to do that more like, first of all, okay, like, I listened to this multiple times. Like, the first time I went like, oh, damn, this sounds like another fucking, looking weepy ballad track that then almost was like, okay, I get what he's saying. I kind of get the whole, you know, his whole thing with, you know, he's a guy who is on top. The people always call him the best and how he got this pressure of doing that shit. Like, okay, I get that shit. But I don't think this is doing enough favors for you, at least this production. I mean, it sounds more like Beyonce's song than you. Something that would have been for Beyonce than you, to be honest. And I don't know, but like you, I've been on and off of Eminem for a while, because, like, he doesn't really grasp me as much as back then, and I'm not expecting like I'm not expecting the old Eminem to just to come back, but either way, the one we have now is you ain't that good. You're still not that good.
It's what this is reminding me of most specifically is and hang on, let me actually grab my copy of Marshall Mathers 2 off the shelf. Come on, get out of there, you bastard. No, I didn't want Anor Shikari. Damn it. Okay. There. Live, everyone. Here we go. Okay, so... God, what was the song? I think it was the song Stronger Than I Was. The one off of Marshall Mathers LP 2 that it reminds me most of. Just that really annoyingly slow ballady type of thing. But I guess at least here he's rapping instead of actually trying to sing, which... Okay. But still, that is probably my least favorite mood of Eminem, when he tries to get all sing-songy and ballady. Like, it's like, you can do songs like this that don't sound so moaning and slow. Jesus, man. But whatever. We'll find out what this revival album actually has in store, if it actually drops this Friday. We'll see. But yeah, that covers the new song discussion for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few news topics, like three, so...
Yeah, we have news this week.
So, got to take a break. Stay tuned, kids. And we're back. So, turns out we actually have four news topics. This one was literally decided in the middle of the break, which you are never going to hear, unless I decide to do an outtakes episode one day. Maybe. But, yeah, for this first news topic, in news that, well, shit, I could have told you that without having to do research or anything. Apparently, if you like Justin Bieber, you might have a predilection towards, like, actual psychopathy, like clinical psychopathy. So, according to the Washington Post, a pair of graduate students at New York University did a study trying to find a correlation between music genres and varying degrees of actual, like, psychopathy. They surveyed 190 NYU psychology students and identified about 20 songs that seemed to be popular or unpopular depending on their level of psychopathy. So, obviously, they measured the song against whoever scored highest on the psychopathy scale, which I probably should have looked that up during the break. But anyway, so the songs... So, Bieber's What Do You Mean? You know, that friggin' song. Apparently ranked really popularly amongst those students who scored highly on the psychopathy scale, alongside Blackstreet's No Diggity and, no surprise, Eminem's Lose Yourself. Wow, psychopaths like Eminem? Who would have thought? But on the lower end of the spectrum, interestingly, there was Dire Straits' classic Money for Nothing, Wayward Wind by, I guess, just people, and of course, that ever-so-classic of Knack songs, My Sharona, which is certainly an interesting song.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's worth noting the researchers have yet to find a specific pattern in the songs that are popular or unpopular with psychopaths. Though, as I say, their initial hypothesis that psychopaths prefer songs without lyrics have been proven false. Apparently, this is going to be formally presented at a meeting of the Society for Neuroscience in Washington this week, which, oh boy, it's going to be interesting to have a bunch of intellectuals having to fucking listen to Justin fucking Bieber.
Well, I mean, it could be worse. Take a listen to that new Taylor Swift album, which, according to Consequence of Sound, is a solid D plus.
That sounds about right.
Oh, yeah. People do not like this album, and gee, I wonder why.
There's a song with Future and Ed Sheeran.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually am friends with a dude who's usually a major Taylor Swift stan. Shout out to Luke, by the way. And I haven't even heard him, like, gushing, I guess, yet about this album. But we'll see. I'll probably hit him up after this and see what he thought. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing... Okay, so if they mention Bieber and Eminem, I'm guessing it's an attraction to music that's made by psychopaths? Because Bieber's behavior is certainly is psychopathic. I'm pretty sure the Miami PD are still looking for you, buddy. I got the receipts from that shit. And, you know, Eminem, obviously, his entire career is based off actual psychopathy.
And some of his fans are, well, most sometimes angry white boys.
He once wrote an entire song about it. Get it? I wrote Stan, bitch. Eh. Well, I thought it was funny. Anyway, moving on from that. So, once again, back to Mr. Danny Brown. He had a release of a documentary actually set up over at Apple Music, apparently exclusive there, called Live at the Majestic. Apparently, it was supposed to come out November 7th, but according to him on Twitter, like a couple days afterwards, apparently they pretty much shelved it.
Yeah, like, damn. It's like, yeah, it wasn't like it Ben and Tom and shit. It's like, let's say you're just gonna shelve it. It's like, and Danny seemed really disappointed by that. And I don't blame him. It was like, ah, damn, you took that my shit?
And so like, far, we still don't have, like, an answer why. That's just sad, man.
He's really hurt by that shit. And I don't blame him. It's like, I made something, you ain't gonna show it?
It's like, okay, so apparently this thing actually did premiere, like, last year ahead the release of Atrocity Exhibition somewhere, I guess. And if it's pretty much set to release, why wouldn't you release it? Like, okay, Apple, this is probably, like, one of the few cool things you could have gotten to release. Maybe the only cool thing, now that I think about it in retrospect. But I'm sure Alex will tell me I'm wrong or something.
No, it's just, this is a part of a much larger discussion that's probably best suited for another time, because then we get into talking about how Apple's going through, you know, video content, and that's just a mess right now.
Pivot to video content. But anyway, moving on from that, let's talk about Mr. Mike Patton. But before we do, let's just say a quick rest in peace to former Faith No More vocalist Chuck Mosley. We care a lot about what you did for the band.
Hear, hear.
Now, anyway, as for Mr. Patton and what he's up to, so as I'm sure we all know, later towards the end of this year, the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th, the Dillinger Escape Plan have their last three shows ever before their eventual split, booked in Manhattan. I really wish I had the finances to go.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
So, yeah, obviously these shows featured... Well, predominantly, they featured the band's Daughters and Code Orange playing, you know, along with them. But for the first of these shows, I believe it's the... I'm not sure if it's all three shows or just the 27th, but...
I'm seeing here on the 27th show, they're having Godmother instead of Code Orange and Daughters.
Right, but anyways, they do have, of one of these shows, or perhaps all three, they are... preparing a little treat for us. See, there was a magical period between the departure of their original frontman Dimitri Mitsotakis and the picking up of Greg Pucciato was the vocalist. In that time, they released an EP called Irony is a Dead Scene, which featured Mike Patton on vocals. And they've confirmed that they're going to perform the entirety of that EP live. And guess who's coming around to do it? Mike Patton.
Yeah! And this is on my birthday, and it's sold out, so I couldn't even bother to go, even if I had the money. God damn it.
Fuck, it's sold out already? Shit!
Yeah, that EP is fucking awesome, too.
I know, right? It's like, this is a thing that pretty much, like, never happens, because, well, okay, so they've been playing, obviously, material from the EP for years, but pretty much never, or at least hardly ever, with Patton, because obviously he's a busy man with lots to do. So the fact that this is happening is not only the most an awesome treat in its own right, but probably one of the most perfect ways to sort of cap off the Dillinger legacy. To everyone that bought a ticket there, you're the luckiest sons of bitches on the planet, and can someone sneak me a ticket? I'll pay you in Bitcoin.
No, wait. You have to pay him in your currency. Memes.
But Bitcoin is a meme. Loopholes, man.
Where are you getting this from? Where are you getting all this from? Your fucking meme machine or something?
Maybe. Plus, I actually know a couple of people that are legitimately investing in Bitcoin. But don't question me, sir. I just want to see this. You know, I saw Dillinger around this time last year, I think. They were great. I'm sad now. So let's move on to news that maybe will make me not sad. Oh, wait. Maybe not.
Oh,
God. Well, it's kind of back and forth here. So for our last news topic this week, we, of course, have a festival lineup to cover, which I don't think we've actually done in a while. But yes, yeah. The lineup for the 2018 edition of the Jacksonville, Florida-based Welcome to Rockville, taking place April 27th, 28th, and 29th in Metropolitan Park, has been announced. So let's actually see what the lineup is. Now, okay, so for Friday, the big headliners are Ozzy Osbourne, you know, especially, which lines up perfectly with his recently announced farewell, air quotes, tour, solo, bullshit. Mm-hmm. Godsmack. And Five Finger Death Punch, the poor man's Godsmack. But looking at the rest of the lineup for that day, there's Hailstorm, The Used, oh god, Parkway Drive. I remember when you guys were actually good. There is the cover band of Under Oath, known as Under Oath. Trivium. Atreyu, which is the poor man's Trivium. Oh, hey, a good band, Power Trip.
Hey, look at that.
You know, they can rock the stage when they're not busy owning that douchebag Gavin McInnes on Twitter. There's Texas Hippie Coalition. There's the band 68, which is, you know, actually not too bad. Palisades, While She Sleeps, Bad Wolves, and Them Evils.
All right.
Now let's move on to Saturday.
May I?
Go ahead.
Okay, so for Saturday, your headliner for this festival, which will probably bore most of you since apparently 60% of the people who saw them on Metallica's tour were only just Black Album normies, Avenged Sevenfold.
Ew.
But there is at least Stone Sour, which should be fun.
Yeah, they're okay.
Then there's Breaking Benjamin, which I didn't even know they were still around.
They are? Holy sh... Oh, no, wait, I remember. Because didn't their frontman launch a really angry rant against, like, a fucking Star Wars game or something? Yeah, that's what it was. He got, like, that. Super butthurt at, like, Battlefront, I think.
Huh. Well, anyway. There's a really long strain of question marks, so I guess there's one more announcement that's coming, which festivals stop doing this.
Actually, no. Contrary to popular belief, there actually is a metal band whose name is literally just a string of question marks.
Huh? Well, that's fucking stupid.
What?
They often tour with the band whose name is literally just three exclamation points.
That's also stupid.
And just for the
people
record,
think black metal bands have bad
names. I'm only
names.
Making up that first one. The three exclamation point band is actually real. Apparently, you're supposed to pronounce it chick, chick, chick.
But in any case, I guess that's a real thing, even though it makes no fucking sense, but whatever. And, oh god, it gets even worse. We have Hollywood Undead. The Jesse Leach-fronted Killswitch Engage.
All Killswitch Engage is bad Killswitch Engage. Don't fucking at me.
Oh my god, Black Veil Brides. Why are you still around? Why are you still around?
Black Veil Brides. The poor man's asking Alexandria. Oh, and speaking but of which...
Wait, hold on. Asking Alexandria is the poor man's asking Alexandria.
What the hell does that make Black Veil Brides? The poor man's attack?
The poor man's... Hot Topic Core. I don't fucking know. They both suck.
That's the point.
God, fucking Danny Warsnop. Oh, hey, Seven Dust is still around.
That could be fun. At least they technically have some shred of dignity.
Pop Evil is still around, which whoopty friggin' do.
Oh my god, it's the party god, Andrew WK!
Yeah! Finally, something good. Okay, so we're up to three good bands here. All right, we're making progress. We also have here for Saturday, Avatar. Butcher Babies. Red Sun Rising. Joyous Wolf. Tyler Bryant and The Shakedown.
Oh, hey, I didn't know Tyler was performing at this.
We're up to four. stick to your guns.
They're all right.
Palais Royale. And lastly, The Wild! Exclamation point.
Oh, boy. And now, that's your... It's kind of weird when, like, the lower tier part of the bills have technically more good bands than the top build of that day.
But at least for Sunday, it will bounce back.
And I will round things out here. So for Sunday, your big three headliners are Foo Fighters, Queens of the Stone Age, and Billy Idol. And looking at Sunday, we have, you know, the rest of the bands, Clutch, Bullet for My Valentine.
They only have one good album.
Yeah, Scream Aim Fire, that's about it.
Yeah.
Thrice, good to know, Greta Van Fleet, Baroness, the poor man's mastodon. And no, I'm not going to stop making that joke through the rest of this bit, shut up. We got Quicksand, Red Fang, The Sword, The Bronx, Turnstile, a.k.a. the poor man's snapcase, The Fever, Black Foxes, spelled with two X's because reasons, Fireball Ministry, which I guess is different from regular ministry, and Spirit Animal. So technically, on average, Sunday is the best day. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Yeah. Like, that's kind of... I imagine... I wouldn't be surprised if most of the sales for this are Sunday tickets. The person that actually wants to go all three days to this is like... God. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why?
The late spring festival lineup for the South does not look very good. So I'm not looking forward to Carolina Rebellion.
Yeah, well, we'll probably have to... we're leaving this behind now, but we're probably going to have to stick a pin in this for any other festival announcements. We'll just... If it sounds like we're getting deja vu, then we'll probably know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that fucking festival. That's it for the news topics. So now we just got to cover the new album releases for the week of November 17th, 2017. Starting from the top, there's a new release from Bare Naked Ladies called Fake Nudes. That's a bad pun. A new Morrissey album, Low in High School, for all you depressed people out there. Ooh, a new Mavis Staples album, If All I Was Black. We got a new release from Talib Kweli. God, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not. Radio Silence. We have the debut full-length album from one of this year's XXL freshmen, P&B Rock, with Catch These Vibes. How about that? God, why the fuck did I do that? Anyway, a new release from Tove Lo with Blue Lips. Oh my god, I can't believe I have to see this fucking one.
Say it! Say it!
Fieldy, the bassist of Korn, is releasing a solo album titled...
Say it!
Basically... B-A-S-S... Basically...
I can hear you cringe through that, and it... Say magnifique.
I'm holding a pocket knife in my hand right now. I can just... But I'm not going to, because contrary to popular belief, suicide is not painless.
No, it's not. Okay. Ask Kenny that.
Anyway, we got a new album from Cavalera Conspiracy with Psychosis. We're finally getting that second collaborative album from The Body and Full of Hell with Ascending a Mountain of Heavy Light. The latest album from Industrial Metal Titans Godflesh with Post Self. A new album from Tim McGraw and Faith Hill with The Rest of Our Life. Or I guess according to my notes here, Time McGraw and Faith Hill. Always make sure to proofread, kids. A new Christmas album from Sia with Every Day is Christmas.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet!
Hey, come on, Alex, be chill. At least it's not Gwen Stefani releasing a Christmas album in October. We have a new album from the master of autotune, T-Pain, with Oblivion. And as we mentioned, last but not least, possibly a new Eminem album, Revival. Hey folks, Robert here. Sorry to interrupt, but this is actually breaking. Like, it literally came out today, the day that I was editing this episode. And now that I'm right near to the end of finishing the whole thing, I just gotta insert this in here. So, as far as the new album releases for this week, we have a surprise! Apparently, Australian psychedelic rockers King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are dropping their fourth album of the year on Thursday. It's a free download, according to them. It's going to be titled Polygondwanaland, and that's basically about it. So, back to the main episode. So that's basically about it for this week. Time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Same place as always. Aura of Azure. Literally everywhere on the internet. But don't bother me this weekend. I'm playing Pokemon, okay? Okay.
Mark, what about you?
It goes on Twitter and Curious Cat at MaxJohyber Media. And on my site, The Mind of Hybrid One at thehybrid1.wordpress.com. Yeah.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Be sure to email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, if you have questions, comments, concerns, and of course, the crispiest memes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes are out by every Wednesday. Video goes up usually every Friday on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution, which you can just search Decibel Boost or Surreal Resolution, subscribe there, hit bell tab, you know the whole shebang. Follow Surreal Resolution elsewhere on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitch, where we are streaming pretty much every day. And, of course, visit the website www.surrealresolution.com and find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com, where you can listen to the archives of our past episodes and check out our other great podcasts as well. If you like gaming, Training Stage, movies, Salty Flakes, anime, Podcast O&A, which from what I hear is on hiatus until next year.
Yeah, we're taking a little bit of a break because of the holidays and... Some of the guys are going to a convention next weekend, so we're going to do some special shows in December, but for now, what we're calling the first season is over. It'll be back in January.
So basically, still, you guys are pulling a John Oliver.
Yeah, pretty much. But go back and listen to the episodes, because we did some good stuff.
Yes, you should. They keep me entertained on car rides. Be sure to check out a lot of our great Ring content. Hopefully my Wolfenstein 2 review is coming out this week, which, spoiler, it's great. And maybe I might get an album review or two done if I'm not super busy with other shit. This is kind of a bad week for me because reasons. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can dank it up with everyone from the site. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week's episode of the Decibel Boost Podcast. Thank you for listening, and until next time, be sure to remember that John Wick once killed 3 men in a bar with a pencil. A fucking pencil!